Good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? Good. You guys ready to serve the community later on today? Yeah, it's great to be with you on this Step Out and Serve Sunday. If you don't know me, my name's Reese. I'm one of the pastors of this crazy group you're sitting amongst today. We call Trinity Church. And I don't know about you, but I have really enjoyed this preaching rotation we have going on. Have you guys enjoyed that during this transition time? Yeah. And I just want to give those guys a shout out because I've learned a ton from those rest of those guys, and we just approach things very differently, and it's great to just have community with them throughout the week and to learn from them. But we're becoming very aware of something, and I'm gonna call all of you out on it now. We're very aware that you all have favorites, okay? We're very aware of that, and I'll be honest with you. Someone came up to me a couple weeks ago for the first time ever and said, "Reese, you're my favorite preacher." Said, "You're my favorite preacher out of all four of those guys. You're my favorite preacher." It's the first time it's ever happened, and I just said, "Thanks, Mom. I appreciate the support." My mom is so supportive. She's standing right or sitting right down there. My mom is so supportive of me. Well, not too long ago. Not too long ago, we took in another dog. Her name is Gilda. She's going to be up on the screen now. This is Gilda. We weren't really looking for another dog, but it just so happened that her previous owner could no longer take care of her, and so we took her in. And now we have Gilda and we have Ranger. We have two dogs, and now we're really looking towards the future, and we're wondering, when is the best age that you tell your dogs they're adopted? What? Ranger is 7 years old, and he's starting to notice things, okay? And so we're wondering when we need to have that heart-to-heart conversation. But Gilda, when we first got Gilda, we realized she had some behavioral problems. We can say, I guess, that she was somewhat of a rescue dog, and she had some behavioral problems, and we noticed that if we do anything in the kitchen or we handle anything with a cord, she freaks out. She starts barking, and she actually starts violently spinning in circles. And she'll do this and go over and over again. And the other day, she almost ran into the cabinet. The other day, she almost spun herself down the steps. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it gets so annoying that I want to push her down the steps. But I don't, because I don't want to pay the vet bill. Yes, she's disobedient. And we're working on that with her. Which is very disobedient, but if any of you have a dog, you know what's the worst thing you could possibly do in her disobedience? Reward her, right? Praise her in her disobedience. Because we all know if you reward disobedience, what's going to happen? The disobedience is going to keep happening, and it's probably going to get worse. And we don't have kids yet. For those of you who don't know, we're expecting our first child December 1st. A little girl, baby girl. Yeah, thank you. We're excited. We don't have kids yet, but I can imagine, but if your kid's having a meltdown, if your kid is rebelling against you, you're probably not going to increase their TV time. You're probably not going to increase their friends' time, right? You're not going to increase their time in video games. You're not going to reward your child for being disobedient, for rebelling against you. This is just common sense, right? It's just common sense stuff that we all kind of go through. It's not a Christian thing, it's not a God thing, it's not a Jesus thing, this is just a thing, it's a human thing, right? We just know this innately to be true, it's common sense. So why is it that, if that's so common sense, why is it that we, as human beings, we disobey God, and in our disobedience, maybe we're going to a Bible study regularly, maybe we're praying regularly, maybe we're doing all the spiritual disciplines, but we're disobeying God, we're disobeying his commandments to us, and we're sitting there expecting a treat. We're expecting a reward. We're expecting a blessing. This doesn't make any sense, does it? This is how each and every one of us has been at some point in our life. Maybe you're there today. We disobey God and we expect to get a blessing. It doesn't make any sense. But, so here's the thing with Gilda as well. So when we first got her, she wasn't potty trained. So it took a little while for us to coach her, to train her to go to the bathroom in the yard and not on the carpet. And just to let you know, you don't make friends when you're out at 5 a.m. yelling, "Gilda, go potty! Gilda, go potty! Potty, Gilda! Gilda, go potty! Potty, potty!" You don't make friends with your neighbors when you do that. Just to let you know if you're ever in that situation. But when she started to obey, she started to be obedient, she started to go to the bathroom in the yard and not in the house, I could tell you, I wanted to take that whole treat bag and just dump it on her. I wanted to shower her with blessing. I wanted to shower her with reward. And that's exactly how our Heavenly Father wants to be with us. That's exactly what he wants to do with us in our obedience. But the key to blessing, the key to reward is our obedience. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit on the Step Out and Serve Sunday about everyone's topic, obedience, everyone's favorite topic, obedience. And I want to talk about really what obedience means. I want to talk about how we obey God. And I want to talk about specifically one truth that's found all over Scripture. It doesn't matter, really, it's all over the place. Jesus teaches about it. The Apostle Paul teaches about it. It's all over the Old Testament. It's this one truth, and the truth is this. Obedience makes a person blessable. Obedience makes a person blessable. Now, I want to define a few terms here in this saying because I think some of these terms have gotten watered down. They've gotten stereotyped over the years. And the first thing I want to talk about is obedience. Obedience, when I'm talking about obedience, I'm talking about obedience to God. And how do we know what God wants? How do we know what he commands us? The Bible, right? We believe this here at Trinity. We believe this is the inspired very words of God. And this is what we lean on to guide our life and to really the foundation of decisions that we make, all those kind of things. We believe this is the very words of God to us. And so when I'm talking about obedience, I'm talking about obedience to God and obedience to his word, his truth that he's revealed to us. And there's another term I think I need to talk a little bit about, and that's blessing. I think when a lot of us hear blessing, they think, oh, God's gonna have me win the lottery tomorrow. $750 million. Did you hear that? Yeah, God's going to bless me. We're going to win the lottery. Or God's going to bless me. There's going to be a boat in my driveway when I wake up tomorrow. Or my kids are going to become perfect angels just overnight. And that's all good and fine. God can bless us in those ways. Let's not put him in a box. He can bless us in those ways. But I think there's a deeper, richer kind of blessing that he even more so desires to give us because it's really a deeper and deeper kind of blessing that we all really desire more than any material thing. And that blessing is purpose and meaning and peace and fulfillment in our lives. I've never met anyone in my life, you probably haven't either, that said they don't want those things. That is an innate thing in each and every human being to desire for purpose and meaning and peace and fulfillment in their lives. God put it there for a reason because he's the only one that can fulfill that. And so when I'm talking about it, really we could say obedience to God or his word is really the gateway to purpose, to fulfillment, peace, and meaning in our lives. You can take it that way as well as it's all defined out. Obedience makes a person blessable. And there's no one who knew this more than the nation of Israel. Nation of Israel, from the beginning of time, when God chose them to be kind of the tool that he would use to display himself to the nations, they became disobedient. They rebelled against him. 400 years in slavery in Egypt, and he has the grace and the love and the power to pull them out of slavery on the way to the promised land. What do? They cry, they whine, they doubt him. Even though there's a swirling cloud, 100 yards in front of them, they doubt him. They make a carved cow and they start worshiping it. And in their disobedience, what happened? God lets them walk around for 40 more years in the wilderness. After that, after they finally get to the promised land, in their disobedience, they cry out for a king. Really, in essence, saying, God, you're not good enough. We need a human ruler to rule over us because that's what all the other nations have. So give us a human ruler to rule over us. God leaves them to their own devices. They get ruler after ruler, king after king. That really plunges them deeper and deeper into sin, deeper into rebellion, deeper into destruction. And they really end up back in the same place they were in Egypt, just in a different nation, in slavery and exile in Babylon and Persia. And in this part of the story today, in Nehemiah, we've been going through over the summer, it's in Nehemiah that they're finally coming out of exile. God has granted Nehemiah a vision, and they're going back. They've rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and they're rebuilding their nation. And they're starting to realize, as in chapter 8, Bill preached about a couple weeks ago, Ezra stands up in front of the nation and reads the law of God, and they respond in wonder and worship. And then as Josh put last week, when they hear the law of God, they start to realize, oh, maybe all this bad stuff that's been happening to us is our fault. Maybe all this slavery and the things we've had to go through over the last hundreds of years is all because we were not following what God wanted us to follow. And they start to realize that in their disobedience, God never blessed them. And they confess this, and they repent of this, and they're turning now. And now we get to the point now in today's part of the story when they start to recommit themselves to obeying God. And it's in this passage of the story today that we find some major principles for obedience that weren't just even relevant back then in historical account thousands of years ago. They're very relevant to where we're at today. So I'm excited to dive in with you. If you would, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10. Feel free to pull it up on your iPad, your smartphones, whatever you have with you. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. I think someone could come around and give you one. If not, they're always in the back. Go grab one if you want to. But follow along with us this morning. Let's pray this morning as we get started. Let's pray that he reveals truth to each and every one of our hearts. Father, we just thank you for this time together today, to gather before you as your church, and to just be encouraged by your truth and your word this morning. Father, I pray you would teach that to each and every one of our hearts. They don't need to hear me. Father, they need to hear you and your truth. I pray that comes through clearly. Holy Spirit, be on every heart, every mind here in this place as we go forward this morning and as we love and serve our community this afternoon, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I told you to turn to chapter 10, and that's exactly where we're going to be, but in order to kind of, there's an extremely important verse at the very end of chapter 9, verse 38, if you see that there in chapter 9, that actually, in the original Hebrew text, is actually the first verse of chapter 10. And it's an extremely important verse, because if you don't read this verse, you're not really going to know what's going on. So here's verse 38 of chapter 9. Because of all of this, because of their repentance, they've realized how disobedient they've been, we make a firm covenant in writing. So they're drawing up a contract. On the sealed document are the names of our princes, our Levites, and our priests. And then in chapter 10, the first verses there, we see all the princes, the Levites, and priests, really all their leaders, the nation of Israel at that time, starting with Nehemiah. And these people are signing this document on behalf of the country, just kind of like the Declaration of Independence for our country. The leaders kind of sign the document on behalf of the country. That's exactly what's going on here. So let me get down to verse 28. That's where we're going to jump in today. It says, the rest of the people that didn't sign it, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who have separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, all who have knowledge and understanding. Now, here's the first step to obedience. It's very clear here. And there's a word that jumped out at me every single time I read this, and that was separated. They separated themselves. And I want to say this morning, obedience to God is going to look different from the world. Obedience to God is going to look different from the world. And the first step to obeying God is being willing to let go of conformity. If you haven't noticed yet in your spiritual walk, or maybe you're going to notice it, that if you follow what Jesus taught, if you follow what God commands in this book, it's countercultural to the messages that the world is really throwing at us every single day. And some of you might be thinking, especially young people might be thinking, wow, countercultural, like, yeah, that's really cool. I want to be a part of something underground and be a cool movement like that. And that's great if you think that. Keep thinking that. But I just want to let you know, I don't want to be a discouragement to you, but I just want to be real with you this morning, that your friends and your family and anyone else that you run into contact with that isn't committed to living a godly life, they don't think you're cool. They don't think you're cool. In fact, it says in God's word that the gospel is foolishness to them. So in fact, they think you're foolish. People aren't going to think you're cool. They're going to think you're a loser. And the first step to being obedient is being okay with that. We have to be okay with that. We have to be willing to let go of conformity if we're going to be obedient to God. Obedience to God will look different from the world. And it goes on. Verse 29, all these people, they join with their brothers, their nobles, and enter into a curse and an oath. Wow, that sounds serious. To walk in God's law that was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his rules and his statutes. Wow, this sounds kind of serious. A curse and an oath, what does that mean? Well, really in simple terms, what it means is they're making a promise, and if they don't keep it, they're going to be punished really severely. They're making an oath, right? A promise they're going to do something, a commitment to do something, and if they don't do it, they're going to be cursed. They're going to be punished severely. So this is very serious. This took a lot of thought, a lot of prayer. They're going into this with a serious mindset. And kind of the second thing we need to do, and these first two really aren't a step system. It's just kind of preliminary things to obedience. But we have to understand that obedience starts with taking God seriously. Obedience starts with taking God seriously. Now, I want you to think of someone in your life right now who's really committed to something, very successful at something, but they don't take it seriously. Anybody think of anyone like that in their life? Probably not, because it doesn't exist. There's no possible way you can be committed to something unless you're serious about it. It doesn't work out like that. I could dream to be the best tennis player in the world, but if I don't take it seriously, it ain't going nowhere. Same thing with God. If we don't take God seriously, how are we going to be committed to being obedient to him? So this morning, I want to ask you, are you taking God seriously? Are you just kind of coming on Sunday morning and singing some cool songs and hearing a message and then just going about your rest of your life the rest of the week and then coming back the next week? Or are you taking God seriously? Are you getting into his word? Are you taking his commands seriously? Are you taking that seriously in your life or not? Because obedience starts with taking God seriously. And then we get to the rest of the passage here, and it's really, there's four areas that the nation of Israel is committing to be obedient to God, and I think those four areas are really relevant in our life as well. So we're going to go through those really quickly. Verse 30, it says, "We will not give our daughters to the peoples of the land or take their daughters for our sons." This first place we need to be obedient to God in is in our relationships. In our relationships. And wives, are you respecting your husbands? Husbands, are you sacrificing and loving your wife as Jesus loves the church? Ephesians says in Ephesians 5. And I don't know about you, but I got decorating with my wife on Saturday morning, or I have the Gopher football game on Saturday morning. Most of the time, I choose the football game. Maybe you guys can relate to that. And I fail at this area. I fail to be obedient in my relationships. Maybe in your dating life, maybe you're in a season of dating in your life. Are you keeping yourself pure? Are you submitting to God and who he has for you as a spouse if you're desiring a spouse? And are you just looking for Mr. and Mrs. Right, or are you submitting to God in becoming someone's Mr. and Mrs. Right? How are we being obedient in our relationships, in our friendships? Are you putting your friends' needs above your own? If you have a conflict with your friend, are you going to them directly instead of posting on Facebook or gossiping about them to another friend? In our families, parents, are we putting our kids' needs above our own? And kids, this is a big one. Are you obeying your father and mother? Are you doing what they tell you to do? And when they say you need to be home or 9 or 10 at night or whatever your curfew is, are you home then? This is what it means to be obedient in our relationships. And he goes on, verse 31, "And if the peoples of the land bring in goods or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath day or on a holy day. We will forego the crops of the seventh year and the exaction of every debt." Now this section here, they're really talking about how they conduct business. That's the second place we need to be obedient in our business. And when I say business, I'm not talking about, I guess it includes this, but doesn't just talking about business people or people that own a business. If you've ever made a transaction before where you've bought something with money or you've traded goods or services, that you've done business, right? And that's exactly the kind of thing that they're talking about here that is relevant really to all of us, right? And when we're doing business, are we putting that person's, are we thinking of the needs of the other person in the while we're conducting business? Maybe it's the cashier or the salesman who's helping you. Are we thinking about their needs, really their soul and their spiritual life when we're doing that? And I don't know about you, but Black Friday really perpetuates this, but I'm so often looking for a great deal that I don't even notice that other person. Or I'm just looking for a great deal. Menards is great at this, guys. You know what I'm talking about. Get a great deal at Menards. I'm just, man, I want to get it and get out of there. Get home and do my project, whatever I'm doing. Are we taking time to think about and caring about, as God has commanded us to do, about other people when we're conducting business? That's what it means to be obedient in business, and I failed that area too. Verse 32, we also take on ourselves the obligation to give yearly a third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, the regular grain offering, the regular burnt offering, the Sabbaths, the new moons, the appointed feasts, the holy things, the sin offerings, to make atonement for Israel and for all the work of the house of our God. And the third place we need to be obedient is in our resources. They've committed to be obedient in their resources. And when I'm talking about resources, I'm talking about our material things, our material possessions, and most importantly, talking about our money, our finances. Are we being obedient to God in our finances? And if you haven't figured this out, this is God doesn't care about how much resources you have. He cares about what you do with what you have. He cares about your attitude toward what you have. So whether you have a ton of resources, a lot of money, or you have nothing, this is relevant to you. It's what you do with what you have. And are you being a good steward of what you have? Do you have a budget? Ooh, the ugly B word, right? The budget. Do you have a budget? Are you stewarding your resources well? Are you giving God the first fruits of your income? If God has blessed you with a lot of resources, how are you being a blessing to other people with those resources? And I at times just want the shiny new thing. I want the new iPhone. Or if I'm going to get a Caribou coffee, even if it puts me over my budget, $5, I'm going to get a Caribou coffee. I fail at this area. How are you doing in that area, in your resources, in your finances? And then it goes on. Here's the rest of the passage. We, the priests, the Levites, and the people will likewise cast lots for the wood offering to bring into the house of our God according to our fathers' houses, at times appointed year by year to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. We obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of every fruit of every tree year by year to the house of the Lord. Also to bring the house of our God to the priests who minister in the house of our God, the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle. It is written in the law, and the firstborn of our herds and of our flocks, and to bring the first of our dough and our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the wine, the oil, to the priest, to the chambers of the house of our God, and to bring the Levites the tithes from our ground, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all our towns where we labor. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive the tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes to the house of our God, to the chambers of the storehouse. For the people of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of grain, wine, and oil to the chambers where the vessels of the sanctuary are, as well as the priests who minister, and the gatekeepers and the singers. And this last sentence really gives it away. The place we need to be obedient. We will not neglect the house of our God. The last place we need to be in this passage, that we need to be obedient to God, is in the temple, or our spiritual life. And now here in the Old Testament, the temple meant that God was in one place. His presence was in one temple, in one place, in one building. And as I've speaked about before, through Jesus' sacrifice, through his death on the cross, it says that the veil in the temple was torn in two. And now everyone, if you believe in Jesus, you now have access to God because God's Spirit is directly inside of you. And now each and every believer is really now their own little spiritual temple walking around, a spiritual temple of Jesus walking around in the world. And so when I'm talking about our spiritual temple, I'm talking about us and our bodies, and our spiritual life, and how we live that out. So how are we taking care of our temples? How are we taking care of our bodies? I don't hear preachers preach about this very often. But how are we taking care of our bodies? When I get busy, I don't work out. And that's probably the time when I need to work out the most because it's stressful. But it's hard. Take care of my body, take care of my temple. When we wake up in the morning in our spiritual life, are we giving God our first and our best? And I can tell you, every morning I wake up, ESPN wars for my soul. Wars for my soul every single morning. And I have to make a decision. Do I turn on that television and watch ESPN and catch up on the sports, or do I give, that's my best of the day in the morning, I'm a morning person, give him the best of my day in prayer or whatever I'm doing. Maybe your best time of the day is 10 o'clock at night, and that's great. I have friends that are like that, that don't get their best work done until 10 to like 1 a.m. in the morning. Maybe that's you, but are you giving God your first and your best? I don't know about you, but I fail on that. It's too many times SportsCenter wins the day. And I'm the kind of person, if I don't get it done early in the morning, if I don't get it done before I start my day, the rest of my day is crummy, and I will not. As the day goes on, there's a less and less chance that I'm going to spend that quality time with God. So how are we doing in these four areas? How are we doing with obeying God this morning? I know I'm prodding you in areas you don't want to be poked and prodded in, and I know that because I don't like to be poked and prodded in these areas. It's not fun. And my not fun experience was this last week when I went through this passage. I started reflecting on my own life and my relationships and how I conduct business and in my resources, in my temple, my spiritual life, and I came to one conclusion. I'm a failure. I fail in every one of these areas. Maybe you do too. And then I read just a God thing this last week. I read a place in 1 Peter where God tells us, "Be holy, for I am holy." What? Are you kidding me, God? Be holy? Holiness means perfection. Holiness means completely set apart. And so this ratcheted up just another level. It's not just obedience God is looking for. He's looking for perfect obedience. God's standard is perfection. I can't stand up to that. Are you kidding me? That's impossible. The other day, I got angry with my pregnant wife for asking me to take out the trash. Maybe you can relate to that. And on my way out there, I realized, wow, that trash that really needs to be taken out is inside of me. God, take out this trash. And I felt ashamed. I felt, wow, I'm failing at this. This Ephesians 5 thing where a husband's supposed to love his wife, wow, I just failed at that. And God asked for perfection. And I felt kind of downtrodden. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe you feel that way right now. But I'm not here to depress you this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about Jesus, okay? And this is the beauty of Christ. This is where Christianity separates itself from every single belief system in the world. Every single belief system that's ever existed. This is where Christianity separates itself. I can't be perfect. I can't be perfectly obedient. I can try and try and try. I already failed, so I'm already flunking. I'm already given an F on the grading system. Maybe you have too. But although I'm not perfect, I can't be perfect. I can't have perfect obedience. It's okay because Jesus was perfectly obedient for me. Jesus was perfectly obedient for me. He was perfectly obedient in my place. And we talk a lot about the death and the resurrection of Jesus dying for my sin. But another aspect of this was Jesus lived a perfect life. And if I am raised with Jesus, if my sin was on the cross with Jesus, I inherit that perfect life as well. And on that cross, God poured out all the wrath for my disobedience, all my past disobedience, my present disobedience, and guess what, guys? My future disobedience. Well, all that wrath was poured out on Jesus. So now there's no more wrath left. If I believe in Jesus, if I put my faith in Jesus, there's no more wrath left for me. Jesus took it all. And now, if you put your faith in Jesus, God sees you as being perfectly obedient. That's the way he sees you this morning. If you have a relationship with Jesus, he sees us through the lens of perfect obedience. And this is really what the Apostle Paul just really clarifies so well in his letter to the Romans, where it says this: "Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners." They're talking about Adam, okay? "So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." He's talking about Jesus. "Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." The Apostle Paul puts it way better than I could. From the very beginning of time, we rebelled. We wanted things our own way. And we still want things our own way. And in that disobedience to God, our loving Heavenly Father showed us amazing kind of love, knowing we can't be perfectly obedient to the standard needed to be holy. He decided to take care of that himself and make a way for us to be seen as perfectly obedient to him. And his name is Jesus. And if you put your faith in him this morning, you put your trust in him, you are seen as perfectly obedient. And through all this, we could kind of put this in a really summed up kind of sentence. And it's this: obedience is only possible through Jesus and because of Jesus. Obedience is only possible through Jesus and because of Jesus. And Tim Keller had this great, do we have that Tim Keller quote back there? Yeah, you want to put that up? Tim Keller had this on Twitter a while ago. It says, "Religion says, I obey, therefore I am accepted by God. Gospel says, I am accepted by God through Christ, therefore I obey." Obedience is through Jesus. It's only with relationship with him, only with trusting in him, are we lavished with the perfect obedience, are we seen with the perfect obedience that our Father gives us. And only because of Jesus, when we grasp this love, we grasp the grace that he's given us, and that's empowered by the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God within us, only when we grasp that are we compelled, are we propelled, are we fueled to obey him. And then that obedience, love other people and serve other people and give our lives to his mission, his cause. So then that means if obedience, we're going to go kind of loop this around at the beginning, if obedience is only possible through Jesus and because of Jesus, and obedience is what makes a person blessable, then that means true blessing is only possible through Jesus and because of Jesus. Blessing, we talked about purpose, meaning, peace, fulfillment in our lives. It's only possible through Jesus and because of Jesus. Imagine with me for a second if each and every one of us and those we came into contact with fully embrace this gospel truth. Stop trying to do things on your own. Stop trying to be perfectly obedient to the law. It says that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. Stop being obedient to the Old Testament law. Stop trying to kind of categorize yourself as all these spiritual disciplines and doing all these things and trying to be holy yourself when God knows you can't do it, and you know in the back of your mind you can't do it? What if each and every one of us totally embraced this truth that obedience is only possible through Jesus and because of Jesus? I believe this church community would be transformed. We would be fueled like never before to reach those in our communities, to reach those with the love that Jesus showed us. And today we have that amazing opportunity to do just that. Step out and serve. This is where the rubber meets the road, guys. And I want to encourage us today, as we're at Step Out and Serve, to keep in the forefront of our minds that obedience, what we're truly doing today, to be truly obedient and serving other people and loving other people, is only possible through Jesus and because of Jesus. And if you've put your faith in Jesus, you've put your trust in him, then today, let his grace, let the love that he showed you, let that fuel you. And ask the Holy Spirit, ask the very presence of God within you to make this real to you. But let that fuel you today as you go out and serve other people, as you love other people in your community. And a lot of you have a t-shirt on that says exactly what I'm talking about today. What's the verse on your t-shirts? We love because he first loved us. Today we love, today we serve because he first loved us through Jesus and because of Jesus. Let's keep that in the forefront of our minds today as we go forward and we love others in the community. I'm excited today. This is where the mission is getting real practical. This is where it's getting gritty. This is where it's getting messy. And it might be messy out today. It might be rainy out. It might be muddy. Whatever you're doing today, let's keep the forefront of our minds why we're doing this. Let's be fueled by the love of Jesus, the grace that our Heavenly Father showed us. We love because he first loved us. And in the process today, you will find, and when you're obedient to God, you will find blessing. You will find God will give you, will shower on you peace, fulfillment, and purpose and meaning in your life. It's obedience that makes a person blessable. But it's only possible through Jesus and because of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much today, Lord, for sending your son. We can't be perfectly obedient. You know this, and you made a way. And we give you all the praise today. And I pray this morning, if there's someone here that's really contemplating whether what they think about Jesus and all of this stuff, Lord, I pray that you would guide them to someone that can answer questions, someone that could come alongside of them and give them the courage to ask. Because quite possibly you are starting them on the journey of a lifetime, a relationship with you, and a relationship that leads to blessing, peace, purpose, meaning, fulfillment in their life. And I pray this morning that we would go now knowing the grace and the love. Holy Spirit, make that a reality to each and every one of us, Lord. If we're serving today or not, Lord, we love because you first loved us. Make that a reality today as we go. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen.